Hey everyone, welcome to the Small Screen Couch Commentary Podcast, where we watch your favorite TV shows, give you our thoughts, and ask for yours. I'm Alex.
And I'm Billy. We're excited to watch and rewatch the best TV shows from start to finish and hope you're ready to take the ride along with us.
We'll talk about the best characters and their stories, reveal some hidden gems, and look for you to do the same.
From sci-fi to comedy, drama to anime, we've got it all covered. So grab your favorite snack and we'll see you on the couch.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Season 3, Episode 3 of The Boys here on Small Screen Couch Commentary.
Yes, sir.
I just want to say right now, it is getting really tough to not binge like the whole way through the rest of this season.
I know.
It's
I know.
Good every episode, and when it ends, I'm just like, I want to watch the next one. But yeah, I'm doing this for the people.
Yeah, you're a great person. You know what I mean?
You are too.
Yeah, sometimes.
But yeah, so first things first. Snacks. Hit me with them.
All right, you ready for this one?
Let me hear it.
I just had some carrots and ranch.
You know what? Highly underrated snack,
I feel. Yeah.
I feel it does not get enough love.
I just got to start eating healthy, you know?
I hear you.
And that's not easy for the boy.
I mean, it's tough. It's tough.
Food is
good. I'm right there with you.
I love food.
Right there with you.
Yeah.
So I was getting down on it's going to sound like an old person, which I am. Just a bagel. Bagel and butter.
Dude, also underrated snack.
Love me a bagel and butter, dude, bro.
Cream cheese on a bagel? Oh my Lord.
Got to be Philadelphia cream cheese though.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. And then yeah, bagel with butter. I mean, once that butter melts on that bagel, oh Lord.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy.
What'd you give the rating?
8.4, a little less than last episode, but not much.
I hear you. I went a little bit further down than that. I went 8.3.
Okay.
Still good episode though. Still good episode. I will say this though. I'm still waiting to get into the nines. Maybe did I get into the nines yet? We've done so many episodes by now. I don't remember if I ever gave an episode
nine.
I think
you have. I think you've been always worried about.
I think I got to like 8.9. Maybe
I think
on
you
one.
Did. Yeah.
But yeah.
No nines.
Nine right.
On the nine. That's wait, German.
Oh God, no, we don't.
No, on the nine.
We can't mess
nine
around
on
with
the nine
no more.
Oh,
after
right,
Stormfront.
Yeah, no.
Nah,
nine on Stormfront. You know what I'm saying?
We're not down with that anymore.
Nah, you're right. My apologies.
Do we say R.I.P. to Stormfront or no?
Hell no. Hell no.
So let's get into the episode here. Starts off with
a little flashback.
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, it was. I was laughing pretty much the whole time because it just gives you that like Dance Mom vibes.
Big
time. Isn't that the name of that show on TLC?
Pageant Mom or Dance Mom? I don't know.
Something like that. But yeah, it's exactly what I would expect to see in one of those reality TV shows.
Oh yeah. It was like uncomfortable to watch this poor girl have to just be like pushed to the limits.
Yeah.
So
and her mom straight up did not care.
No, not at all. Which makes me even go, you know what? I don't care about her as much.
Yeah.
You know?
If you haven't picked up on this by now, we're obviously talking about Starlight.
Yeah. She's in a little Miss Superhero pageant. Yeah, she's behind backstage, and she's kind of telling her mom, like, I'm feeling sick. I don't feel that good.
Right. And her mom's trying to convince her, oh, well, you know, it's your stomach is going to be fine. You just have to push through the pain or some shit like
yeah,
that. She's like, no, it's not my stomach. It's my side.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, though, like, what? Did
should
she
we
have
ever
like a side stitch or something?
Maybe, or maybe we'll get like a different like understanding of what happened to her when she was
maybe.
Younger. Maybe she had surgery. Who knows? I can't remember what the saying is. It's really stupid. It's like something about pain and you can't get.
Oh, wasn't it like? No, I was gonna say pain is temporary, but pride's forever.
It's something like that, though. Pain
but
is
it's something
temporary.
Like that.
Yeah, you're 100% right.
Oh no, I know what it is now.
Tell
pain
me,
pain is. Oh jeez, you know it doesn't matter. It's something about like pain leaving the body.
Oh yeah,
that's what it was.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, something leaving the body.
Yeah,
it's pain is something leaving the body.
Yeah,
it's like
weakness
no.
leaving the body.
Yeah, probably.
Something like that.
Yeah, stupid saying.
Yeah,
yeah. It was
something
it,
you should not be saying to like a 9 or 10 year old girl.
Yeah, not at all. So she has to fight through it, and she gets on stage, and she's just all like makeup up, and it's weird. And her mom's back in the corner, and you know what song she's singing?
A little hit me, baby, one more time.
Oh, baby.
A Britney Spears classic.
Classic. And she's doing these dance moves, going all in, doing the best she can, right? And her mom's over there, like, reenacting the movements because she taught her everything. And
she's like, singing along, too.
You know? Yeah. I hate this. I really do.
It's very awkward to be putting kids in that type of position. To be like, hey, you've got to be like this star, this ultimate, like, you know, performer or whatever for such a young kid.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess that's...
It is what it is. But we do realize towards the end of it, she did a great job. Everybody's clapping and cheering, and she's waving, but behind her back is her fist, and she's clenching it real tight.
Yeah.
And you can tell that's when she's in pain or angry. That's what Starlight does.
Yeah, some sort of coping mechanism that she's using to, you know, I guess, like, push through whatever issue that she's having right then and there.
Yeah.
I will say, though, as soon as I saw that, immediately thought of Arthur.
Yeah.
That, and the meme of like him clenching his fist
to punch his sister.
Yes.
Because I think Arthur was in the right here, guys. I'm gonna be honest with you.
He
told her not to touch his plane. Don't touch the plane. Did it multiple times. She goes and touches the plane. Not only does she touch the plane and break it, she then goes, well, it broke. You didn't make it right. I hated Arthur's sister. But
I digress.
That's for another podcast. Our Arthur rewatch. But anyway, so they do flash back to the present. We do get a lot of Starlight story, but that's more important. So let's get to that to the end.
Okay, I like that.
Let's start with our boy Frenchie.
Frenchie goes on a little adventure.
Yeah, so the boys go off to another's adventure, but Frenchie gets a call, and he has to go do something, so he can't go with them on this adventure. He meets with Shadi.
You know, and we haven't seen her in a long time. I feel like we go through all these long spells of not seeing her, and then she just pops up randomly. I think the last time we saw her was when she was paying Kimiko to kill people.
Yes.
Or she was like the middleman between, you know, her and whoever was paying her.
Yeah. But the Armenians.
Was it the Armenians?
I think you're right. Yeah.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
But I feel like we need more Shiri, and I hope we get more of her.
I enjoy her every time she's on the screen.
She is this character that, in the first season, we saw her a few times. It was like probably three or four times. Second season, I think we saw her once or twice. This season, the first time we're seeing her, you know, a couple episodes in here. But I feel like she has more of a story to tell that we're not getting.
Yeah, she's got baggage. She's got a backstory, you know. But either way, she's in trouble with Nina, which we'll meet a little bit later. She was running drugs or something for Nina.
Heroin. Yeah.
And it was stolen.
The heroin.
Or lost. So she's like, you know, it doesn't matter. Finch is like, we'll just pay Nina back. It's okay. And
he's got that CIA money now.
He's got that moolah.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, it's not about the money. It's the principle. It's the principle. She's going to kill me either way.
A drug dealer with principles. Go figure.
I know. In this world, I mean, they probably have more principles than the heroes.
Yo, I'm not. Yeah,
you know
I agree.
What I mean?
I agree.
But yeah, so they pretty much come to the conclusion like, nah, like we can't get the money for her because she'll still kill Shiri. So
he
gives gets her a fake passport to get out of the country. She does ask him to go with him, and like we can just live the rest of our lives here somewhere, you know, on a beach.
Right.
And it's kind of sweet, but you're like, he's in love with Kimiko, like.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like the story with Shiri is just weird because like she has this strange relationship with Frenchie where it's like they're not lovers, but they're not lovers.
Yeah, I mean they love each other in some sort of fashion.
But it's weird though. It's like almost like a brother sister love, but then they're also smashing.
Yeah, but it's not as weird as Homelander's like mother.
No, yeah,
it's
no.
more like they're really good friends and they take care of each other.
I guess that's it's a good way to put it.
But they there's definitely some kind of like sexual love there or whatever.
Well, yeah,
but it's also open. So this is probably her like kind of say we can close it, just move out there together. It's just us two, nobody else.
Yeah,
but he's too much. He's in love with Kimiko
for sure. For sure,
which I love.
Has been for a little bit.
For show.
But since it's obviously, you
season
know.
One, basically. Love at first sight for Frenchie.
Yo, and she was dirty.
Mm-hmm. Now look at her. Whew. She purdy. So anyway.
Dirty to purdy.
Oh, shit, oh dude. Gosh. Hashtag dirty to purdy. Use it. All right. So anyway, he does all that stuff. He's on his little like stroll back home. And some guy he recognizes pulls up and says, hey, you should probably get in the car. And he says
Nina wants to see you.
Yeah, but he starts giving this guy shit, talking about how like, oh, I'm surprised you want to talk to me since, you know, I tossed your wife's salad. Or I ate your wife's ass, some shit like
Something like that.
It's like, God dang, Frenchie, you're a freak.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
But he's like, nah, I'm not getting in there with you. So he starts walking forward and a guy walks out of the alleyway.
Yeah. He gets surrounded real quick.
Yeah. So he's like, I guess I'm going with these guys.
Yeah. Not much of a choice there.
So later on in the episode, you see him walk into like a deli, but he has a little like sack over his head.
Why is it that like gangsters and stuff always have a deli? And it doesn't matter whether it's like Italian gangsters, Russian gangsters, they've always got a deli.
Yo,
like even like Irish gangsters.
Deli's the best place to clean money, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's money laundering. Yeah, for sure.
Cash business.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyway.
Yeah.
We see here that he's been brought there by Nina, who is a Russian gangster.
Yeah, she's the leader.
She has history with Frenchie and Sheree. She's obviously known him for a long, long time.
He used to work for her.
Yeah. And she calls him by his real name, which is Sergei.
Sergei.
Which I'm wondering here, though. Like, Sergei is it's a Russian, like, Ukrainian type name, but why is he Frenchie?
Because he's Frenchie.
Yeah, but he speaks
don't
French.
Ask questions.
Is he from France or is he Russian? Like, I don't know. I don't get it.
Serge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know either, but they have a nice little... I start to feel bad for Frenchie because he used to work for her, and he pretty much explains, you're just somebody's dog. I'm just not the owner anymore.
Right.
You know, and now it's Butcher and all that. So I feel really bad, but she's like, look, I'm killing Nina, like, unless we have to make a trade.
No. Sheree.
Sheree, sorry.
Yeah.
Nina's going to kill Sheree unless we make some kind of deal. And I don't remember there being much of a deal, but can I just tell you, I know Nina's bad. And I know she's a little forceful.
Kind of hot?
Yeah. I kind of like that in a woman. She gets up there and like...
She knew what she wanted.
Yeah. She gets right over.
She was ready to take it.
Obviously, Frenchie and her did a lot of things, too.
Yes.
Yeah. Frenchie be fucking everybody.
He's a dirty dog.
He is a dirty dog.
He's a dirt devil.
Nah, I love that guy. Sucking?
Yeah. Well.
Well.
Maybe.
I don't know.
To each their own.
Yeah. But yeah, he's just all... He's all about all the women. Doesn't matter who they are. But she really, I forget where, it's something about he'll pay her. She doesn't agree to it. There has to be more to this. But he gets out of there. He's able to get out.
Yeah.
He's not going to help her with anything. So that's kind of the end of Frenchie's story. We'll see more of it a little bit later. But yeah, Nina's kind of scary. I think she plays a bigger role in the show, if I remember correctly, a little bit later. So yeah, we'll see more of her.
Yeah, I often wonder too, like if you're a gangster in this world, like clearly you're not in every like typical TV show, movie, gangsters, they're not really afraid of the cops, and most of the time they like have the cops in their pocket.
Yeah,
do we think like gangsters in this world like have like soups in their pocket?
I would think so. Yeah, that's a good point.
You know,
yeah, not like not big dogs, but like.
Yeah, they're not gonna have somebody like a Homelander,
but like a lower level motherfucker.
Yeah, like a an Eagle the Archer type, you know, a B tier, a C tier hero.
Yeah,
they're like, yo, I'll pay you. You're on my payroll, or I've got dirt on you, so you know you got to do what I say, type stuff.
In this world, dirt on you seems to be the only thing people pay with. Yeah. So yeah, we get out of Frenchie. We go over to A Train. He has a nice little short story here that definitely grows more in this show as well. So he is, meeting with his brother, hanging out on the front porch with his brother. I believe his nephews would be my guess.
Yes.
And maybe a sister-in-law or somebody.
Yep. Yep.
And
well, hold on. Before we get there though,
talk to me.
He's, he comes out of a hospital or like a doctor's office.
Oh, from an appointment to get checked up.
Right. And his brother's out there waiting for him. And he says, you know, how did you know I was going to be here? And, you know, typical movie line or whatever. I knew you were going to be here because of this. But he tells him, you got people chauffeuring you around now. And A-Train says to him, well, you know, I basically can't run. If I do, it's a 50-50 chance whether I'm okay or my heart explodes.
Yeah. Take that shot. Find out, bro.
No.
Take that shot and find out, A-Train.
So he's obviously, you know, in his rebranded costume now. Mm-hmm. And his brother says, you know, come on over to the house and, you know, let's hang out. And let's make up. Because the last time they were together, they were on bad terms. And they ended things on bad terms.
They did. Yeah.
So he goes, hangs out with his family and immediately gets called out for like.
By his nephews.
Yeah. For his first costume and whatever. And they tell him that it's whack, and he's just like, hey, man, I'm doing this for the culture and whatever.
My favorite part is, like, they're saying it's whack as shit or something, yeah. And the mom comes out and is like, don't say it to him. And she goes, he's like, yeah, I'm doing this for the culture. She goes, no, it's corny, but they can't talk to you like that.
Yeah. So, you know, his brother then tells him that if he really wants to do something for the community, that he needs to do more than just, you know, this show and dance and whatever, and that he needs to help the actual community out. There's a news clip that he shows him of another hero who is like a police-type hero. Mm-hmm. His name is Blue Hawk.
Blue Howl.
And he has been, like, over-patrolling African-American communities. And his brother tells him that there was one person who was apparently just an innocent bystander that this guy thought was a criminal and curb-stomped him.
To death.
Yeah. I don't think, if you're getting curb stomped, I don't think you can live through that. That's crazy.
I mean, people have, not by a superhero, people have lived through a curb stomp, but they have no teeth and a messed up face. I mean, like, if you get one stomp to it, you'll live, but I would want to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So A-Train, you know, kind of just says, all right, well, let me see what I can do. And I'm not going to lie, I thought maybe this was going to be kind of like a, like a turning point for A-Train.
Yeah, it kind of is. I think he now realizes a little bit more, but he's still too afraid to go against Vault because he explains.
Yeah,
what's he say? I'm Michael Jordan, not Malcolm X.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, that's a really dumb statement, but
it was. Well, he's afraid, but I think he's also, I hate to say it, he's an idiot.
Yes.
Like,
he's
not
still not the
quite,
brightest.
Not quite like on a level like the Deep. Like the Deep is an idiot as like far as like he's just a he's, dummy.
Yeah.
A-Train is an idiot in that like everything he thinks is gonna work one way or that should work one way doesn't. And I don't know, he makes a lot of stupid moves.
Yeah. When you have probably superpowers your whole life, you're a little spoiled and you're not really learning how the world really works and how things should work.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's not very bright. So we kind of end with him just telling his brother, like, I don't know if I can do this. This is not really my my look.
Right.
So we'll see where that goes. But yeah, a little disappointment in A-Train because you kind of felt like A-Train was going to start getting a turning point at some point because Homelander's giving him shit about his weight. He doesn't seem too happy with the Seven right now in Vought. But
right.
He just doesn't seem to be able to just turn that page a little bit.
Yeah, he needs to get to the point where it's like, okay, either it's time to shit or get off the pot, basically.
Yeah.
And until he does, I mean, he's just going to be stuck in this cycle of being kind of half in, half out of the Seven of, okay, am I really going to continue being like not a good person? Am I a good person? Am I a bad guy? You know, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. They need to do something with him to move him along.
He's still just super selfish, really.
Yeah, but it's also kind of just getting tired, I think.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Like, it's been this since season one. Other characters have had more development. Other characters have had like different things happen that change them a bit, and A-Train's kind of just always been the same guy.
Yeah.
That hasn't really developed or changed or had anything new happen with him, really.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
We'll see where it goes, right? Yeah. I think next we go to the boys overall, the group.
Yeah.
The first thing to mention is Huey has decided to join back up. So is MM. And I love when they show MM, he's cleaning up the desk. He's like telling them, like, this is a historic building. We got to respect it. So it's pretty good. And Huey walks in and they're both just super pumped to see each other. And he was like, you're back. And he's like, you're back, you know, and they're just showing some love, which I thought was pretty cool.
Absolutely.
But what happens here is, if you remember correctly, the sergeant in charge from that Gunpowder told Butcher back in the day from when they were over in, I can't remember what country it was Grace Mallory. So yes. Butcher's like, well, we have somewhere to go. And that's going to be it to see Grace Mallory, one to see Ryan and also to ask her questions. And Frenchie can't go, like we had mentioned. So he was like, I'll go. But he needs to be able to give a good excuse to
be off of work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he says that like he can't just like call in sick necessarily because she'll know, Newman will know that he's lying.
Yeah.
And she already kind of was suspecting him before in the last episode.
Yeah.
You know, so he's got to do something to really, like, cover his tracks here. And he goes to Kimiko and he says, hey, I need you to break my arm. you know, because it needs to be real. It needs to be something that, like, I really am have a legitimate excuse to not be at work. And it's just hilarious because he's like, all right. And I thought she was going to do, like, one of the hyperextension breaks, like, at the elbow.
Yeah.
You know? But then MM, like a good dude, steps in. He's like, nah, like,
right here.
Get over here. It'll be, like, less permanent damage.
It'd be clean break. Like, yep.
And Kimiko's just like, all right, grabs his hand, and he just goes, 1, 2, and she snaps it before he hits 3. He's like, yep. Ah!
Oh, my God, it's disgusting. Even, like, MM's face is like,
oh, oh yeah. Yeah. I can watch stuff like that in TV shows and movies and stuff, but when, like a bone break like that happens, like, in real life, like, when you're watching sports or, you know, anything else, I can't watch it anymore.
Yeah.
Like, when it's happening in real life to real people, I have to turn away. I don't know what happened to me in my old age. I guess I'm getting squeamish.
You're getting soft, dude.
I am. But yeah, I just thought it was hilarious that I kind of called that she was going to break it before he said 3. But it was just funny.
Yeah.
I thought it was hilarious.
It was a good scene. It is good to mention before Butcher comes out to talk to him, he is still feeling a little sick from V24.
Yeah, he's
so,
like,
this must be
throwing
the next
up
day or so.
And his like laser eyes, they like start to kind of flicker a little bit, and he can't control it necessarily. So yeah, it has to be within that 24-ish hours after having taken it.
Yeah.
Because I think they when Stan Edgar was talking with the Secretary of Defense and trying to sell him on V24, he said it's 24 hours about, like, it could be more than that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's getting some after effects here.
Give or take, yeah. Is this the episode, or was it the end of last episode that he throws up all that green goop?
No, it was this episode, yeah. It's okay. Like, I don't know if it's, you know, just the V24 is green.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's just, like, in his system and he's throwing that up, or if it's, like, bile or whatever.
But he throws it all up on Huey at night at one point when they're talking about something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That might have been the end of last episode.
No. That was, I think that's this episode, but I think it's...
At the end of this one?
Yeah.
Okay. Either way, not important. It's just kind of how Huey knows what's going on. I think you're right. It's the end of this episode.
Yeah.
Anyway, so nobody knows he has V24 yet. And so they decide... Okay, fine. Huey's coming with us. Kimiko, MM, Butcher, and Huey head up to see Grace Mallory and Ryan. The reason why they're going to see Grace Mallory is because they need to figure out what happened in this other country back
Nicaragua.
Nicaragua. Thank you. The yeah. other day. The other, you know, all back in the day.
So Grace Mallory, she was basically kind of like...
she was the captain of a
she was like
squad
a,
down there.
Yeah, there was like a militia, I guess, down there. That were kind of fighting whatever little civil war they were having or whatnot. And so she's there kind of being their lieutenant general, whatever, blah, 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 you want to call it. But then we also find out that this group basically like runs a bunch of drugs and guns and stuff as well.
Yeah.
And so she's, you know, we've always kind of had the feeling that like Grace is kind of like a good person, but she's a little dirty.
She's real,
you know. She's done some questionable things.
Not so dirty to Purdy.
No, not so much. But then this is also when we kind of see Payback, the team that was Vought's like first, or maybe not first, but like their superhero team before the Seven.
Right.
Because it's Black Noir and Soldier Boy and...
Crimson Countess.
Crimson Countess. Gunpowder.
Then they have the twins.
Are they? Is it the TNT twins?
Yeah, it's
like
the
that?
TNT twins.
And then there's some other guy with like
he's,
a mind.
He's
power.
Like a beetle bug. Oh yeah, there's the guy with the mind power, and then there's like another guy who can fly like a bug.
Yeah, yeah.
And pretty much, you get so Grace Mallory decides to tell the boys a story after Butcher kind of threatens her a bit, and you find out, man, Payback was dumb.
Yeah,
they were just dumb as hell. And like, first of all, I don't know if it's CGI or if they really found a great actress to just play a younger Grace Mallory, but I thought it was pretty darn close.
I think they did the casting pretty well.
Yeah, that was pretty wild to me. Sometimes I was like, oh, that I could definitely picture that being
well
her
and the whole reason that Payback is even there is because we also see a young Stan Edgar.
Yeah,
and this is like the first
he brings them there
that he tries to sell the government on soups in the military.
Yeah,
and he has like an order from the government saying like, hey, this is how it's going to be, and you're going to kind of be like their leader, so to speak. And she's basically like, no, like, they're not trained soldiers. They're soups who are, you know, they don't know what they're doing
at all,
which we find out very quickly.
They don't, because even while they're having this conversation, she has to yell at the bug guy to get down.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of like, why? He's like, because the enemy will see you up there and then attack our base.
Right. You're going to give away our position.
Yeah.
And we find out that's exactly what happens.
He does it again.
And the people that the Nicaraguans were fighting come and start shooting them. And it's funny, at one point, Crimson Countess, she goes and does her like little fireball thing at these two guys, and Grace Mallory's like, those were my soldiers.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
And that's just how bad they didn't even notice who they were there with. So they start attacking the wrong soldiers. Freaking Gunpowder has this machine gun. He's having a blast shooting it. Yeah. See what I did there? Having a blast. Hey. Yeah. But he's also about to kill Grace Mallory with it by accident. Like, he's just shooting it nonstop. So she has to run and hide from it. It's just a shit show.
Yeah. The only person in Payback that was doing like okay was Soldier Boy.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Which makes sense, because the rest of them are really dumb.
Yeah.
And he's not dumb. He's just cocky. He's like any other superhero. He knows he can handle most fights.
Yeah. And you know what? We kind of glossed over a scene here that I felt was kind of important. We, for the first time, get to actually see Black Noir without his mask.
He's talking to young Stan Edgar, and he's kind of saying, I want to be without my mask. And so Black Noir is African-American, and Stan Edgar is kind of like, right now is not a good time to have African-American superhero. And it's like, because the country's racist. So
right.
It's a nice conversation. And actually, when this fight's going on, he doesn't have his mask on.
Right.
Which I think is part of an issue. Like, what happens here?
Yeah, so as the fight goes on, I mean, actually, you know what? Black Noir was actually doing okay, too,
in
the fight.
For sure.
And I've said it multiple times. I love Black Noir. Every time he's on the screen, he is so badass, and his scenes are so fun to watch.
Yeah.
I just have a gripe with this whole scenario here, though, because we've seen Black Noir get shot at, and it doesn't faze him. We've seen him get blown up, doesn't faze him. But in this fight, you know, the bug dude, I think he gets taken out by like a SAM missile.
Yeah.
The mind dude, he doesn't even really do anything, I don't feel. He kind of just like cowers in the back.
Yeah.
Black Noir, though, he's fighting, and then something happens. He gets injured real bad, and you see him towards the end of the fight, and he's kind of slumped over, and you see his face is like burnt off. He's got a big old gash in his head, and I'm just wondering, like, okay,
if he can get shot at
and blown up, what happened to you here that you were so messed up?
Yeah, it's crazy too, because like he's mentally not there anymore because the gash in his head obviously like affected hit his brain. But yeah, I agree. I think it's a little weird, but it kind of makes him go like, okay, that's why he always wears a mask now, because he obviously probably that was a helmet,
right?
You know, which probably could have protected him even more.
Well, and I mean, we knew he was like burnt and whatever, because when Maeve and him fought a couple episodes back, she pulls like his mask up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. So this whole fight takes place, and what happens is Grace Mallory gets knocked the F out.
Yeah, I think there was like an explosion, and she goes flying. She hits her head or something. She's unconscious, but then when she comes to,
the battle's
kind of over.
Yeah, the battle's over. She sees Black Noir, a bunch of other people. Everybody's dead. Some of the people that she talked to before the fight happens, like her soldiers, you can see they're dead, laid out. So it's kind of sad. But you start to hear, I think it's Crimson Countess screaming, they took Soldier Boy. Or no, they killed.
Yeah, they killed him. And she's like, what? That's Grace Mallory's like, no, that's not possible.
Yeah.
Because he's very similar to a Homelander type in that he's like,
he's invincible.
Supposed to be invincible. Right.
Yeah. And she's like, yeah, they used some kind of weapon we've never seen before. And then they took his dead body and they flew away.
Yeah.
And it was the Russians, I believe.
It was the Russians. That's right. That's who was fighting the Nicaraguans, was Russians.
Yeah.
Which this little thing here, too, I was kind of like, this is fishy as shit. If Crimson Countess is coming over and just being like, I've never seen this kind of weapon, like, it just really was telling me like, okay, she's either in on it or she's not given the whole story.
Right.
Something is going on here. But yeah, you see this chopper flying away and they supposedly have Soldier Boy. And that's basically, you know, the story that she tells the boys.
Yeah, which MM's not happy with, because like you said earlier, she does admit that it was to bring drugs and guns up to America, but it was supposed to go through
African-American
urban areas. So yeah, he's just like, you son of a bitch. Like, I trust you all these years, you know?
Right.
And she definitely...
Well, not to mention also, Soulja Boy is... I don't know why I said it like that. I said it like Soulja. Like, so
you
like,
did like the rapper. Holy shit. You know what? And I didn't even feel it. Like, I was like, yeah, that's normal.
Soulja Boy is also the one that killed MM's family.
Yeah.
So he's upset with Grace Mallory, like
holding this from her. Yeah, from him. So yeah, they're not very happy with Grace Mallory at all right now. It's good to mention that halfway through her story, Butcher has to get up and go to the bathroom because he's sick.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's still throwing up. His eyes are still glowing yellow. He's trying to hold that back. Ryan's knocking on the door like, do you need me to come in and help you?
Typical kid.
Yeah, it's like...
Like, if you've had a kid at any point, you know, like, the bathroom's one of the only places you can, like, kind of get away for a bit, but have some privacy, but they'll still be there at the door, just like, knocking on the door, or, you know, like, hey, come, you know, can I be in there with you? It's like, no, I'm taking a dump, dude.
Yeah, anytime you're trying to figure anything out, too, like, if you're sick or if something goes wrong, they need to keep asking on a question. What's wrong? What happened? Yeah, yeah. It's like, let me just have a second, and you can tell Butcher's feeling that way.
Oh, absolutely.
But again, Butcher's Butcher, so his anger is tenfold, always.
Yeah.
So...
Well, he comes out, and it's funny because Ryan's like, he tells Ryan, he's like, oh, no, I feel okay. I'm fine. But he comes out and Ryan's like, no, like something's wrong with you.
And your blood smells funny.
Yeah, he says like your heart's racing and your blood smells funny, which weird that he can smell his blood.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a Homelander power too.
Or a little extra.
Like, yeah. Very, very strange. So Ryan knows something's going on with him. He doesn't know what, but he knows something's happening.
Yeah, and I think Butcher is getting back to like his vibe of like he's gonna be doing some really bad stuff. Like he was turning the page of becoming like a better person, and he could probably actually spend time with Ryan. But now he's back to the where he's like, I'm not that good of a person.
I didn't take it that way
because he says that like when they leave,
right?
Ryan, there's a conversation that happens, and Butcher pretty much says, "Do you think, you know, every time I see your face, I see Becca? So maybe I don't want to see you."
Yeah. He does say that, you know, he basically tells Ryan like, hey, I'm not going to come back here. This will be the last time I see you. I didn't take it as that. I took it as he knows he's getting into some shit and he wants to try and like protect him because he knows that, you know, Grace Mallory obviously is not the person that they thought she was, the great person she thought she was. She's not bad necessarily.
No.
But... I think he was doing it more like a, I'm keeping you at arm's length because I'm trying to protect you type thing.
Which
that's
is,
how I took
to
it.
An extent, yeah, because she even mentions, like, you're putting us in danger, just this, all four of you coming here.
Right.
In the beginning. But, yeah, I just feel like there's also, he doesn't feel like he's a good person and should really be around Ryan.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, we'll see how that all plays out. Yeah, so for the boys, I mean, that's basically it for their story. But I think that's the meat of the story. You kind of now know what happened to Soulja Boy. You get a backstory on Grace Mallory, a little bit on Black Noir. You get, honestly, that scene of the flashbacks really good.
Yeah.
It's just all the characters in Payback. You get more vibe of them. And I think you'll meet more this season. I don't remember. But
well,
we've met
Crimson Countess. We've met Gunpowder, who is now dead.
Yeah, we won't meet the Beetle guy.
Oh, yeah, he died.
He's dead.
And obviously, we always knew Black Noir from the beginning.
Yeah, which we still get more Black Noir this season.
I'm happy.
Dude,
I'm for it.
There's one scene. It's wild. It's nuts. But yeah, we'll move on. We're gonna go ahead and now back to Homelander and Starlight.
Yeah, there's a lot that happens with the Supes here that...
it's a wild ride.
It is. It is. So the beginning of this season, we have been seeing that there's this ongoing like reality show that they're using to pick new members of the Seven.
Mm-hmm.
And so Homelander always was used to him being the one that picks out people. Now that he's co-captain with Starlight, Stan Edgar has said, well, no, Starlight has the final say.
Yep.
And so she's going to pick two people from the contestants who are left. So we know there's Supersonic, the guy that she knew from when she was a teenager. And then there's like two or three other contestants that are on the show.
Yeah, one of them I don't think they really care about. But then there's one that's African American.
Yeah.
And there's one that is, I'm going to be wrong here. I'm trying to think what her religion is.
She's a Muslim.
She's Muslim. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and so Starlight, they.
Starlight wants to pick the Muslim superhero.
Because
she actually does superhero stuff. She's actually helping.
Her success rate is high.
Right.
Yeah.
She's actually arresting criminals and whatever. She's obviously not as popular as the other two contestants that are there. But Starlight says, I want her because she's actually effective at what she does.
Yeah. Not for anything to sell or anything like that. Because you feel so bad because the other one they talk about, they're like, oh, yeah, she's hot. Not that hot, but we can make her a sex symbol and stuff like that. And it's like,
yeah,
it has nothing to do with superhero ability.
Yeah.
At all.
And the other thing, too, like they pretty much know they want Supersonic as like a lock.
Yeah.
Like he's in there for sure. And then they're just trying to figure out the last spot. Who that's going to go to. Meanwhile, on the side from that, we already know that Homelander is trying to get the deep back into the seven. It hasn't like happened yet for sure.
Yeah.
But he's already like laid those breadcrumbs out for him.
Yeah, he's already kind of tried to figure this out. And I do want to mention first, before we go into her, something that's super important to why Homelander acts the way he does in this episode is in the beginning of the episode.
Oh.
He's watching his speech, and Ashley, and so is Starlight in another room. And you see Ashley run by Starlight's room with the door open and say something. She's like, I don't have time. She runs to Homelander, who's sitting naked on the couch.
Yeah.
This is like the first time you see him without his suit on.
Right, right.
And he's watching the speech as well, and she's like, your numbers are up. Your numbers are up.
Yeah, which everyone was freaking out because they thought, okay,
he's done.
Tanked.
Yeah.
Like, he's canceled at this point, you know, because the speech that he gave at his birthday celebration, he basically is telling me, like, I'm better than you. You guys need me.
They're all lying to you.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
You know, if they can control me, they definitely are controlling you. You just don't know it.
Yeah.
And everyone's thinking, okay, well, he's cooked, but in actuality, his numbers are up.
With white males.
Yeah.
And
which is...
shocked on that one.
Yeah. Big shocker there. Males 18 to 34, white males, are like, yes, Homelander, you're my hero.
Yeah. So... Yeah, so he gets up and he's like asking her to tell him more stats.
Yeah.
About the numbers and everything. And she starts to notice that he's getting hard.
Yeah.
While Which she's giving the numbers.
Super weird.
It's weird. And he's like, it's not because of you, Ashley. Just keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like sitting there.
I thought they were going to fuck at first.
I kind of thought that too. But Homelander would never do that to Ashley. Like, she's so, in his eyes, like
below
beneath
her.
Him.
Yeah, below him.
That he would never even do that. But, yeah, she keeps reading him all these stats and good things, whatever. She does mention, although, I think there's some demographic that, like, his numbers are down. But then she also says to him.
With you and Starlight.
Yeah. Like, she's balancing that out. So, like, the areas where your numbers are down, her numbers are way up. And she says some stat about, like, them being as, like, she doesn't say a couple, but, like a team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they love their team ups. That the two of them have, like, the highest percentage rating ever. It's like 98%.
Yeah.
Which is important to note here because this is a big plot point moving forward.
Yeah.
But yeah, Homelander's like, okay, well, now I'm saved and I'm good. So the his whole attitude moving forward then
has changed.
And he's now back to the point where he's like, all right,
I run this shit.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
So,
which honestly, this is how I would have thought Homelander would have been or should have been like from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, I've said it multiple times that I don't know why Homelander listens to anyone, and now he really is not going to listen to
him. He kind of admits to it in this scene. So as they're trying to decide who they're going to pick for the reality show, Homelander is still arguing, and he's being super racist. He's like, I won't have those people in my team.
Yeah, he doesn't want the Muslim candidate on the seven.
Yeah. So he surprises them, says, I got an idea. It'll be a nice shock value.
Yeah, it'll be a good twist.
Let's bring him in, and it's the Deep. And he's like, the Deep joins Seven, and Starlight is not happy. She's like, no way. And the Deep's with his wife, and she's like, I'm not going to take somebody back who mouth raped me. And like, they have this huge thing. The Deep has a necklace for her.
Yeah, it's like a dolphin pendant.
Yeah.
And it's like conflict-free diamonds and 24 karat gold. And she's like, why would I want like something that's going to remind me of you hanging around my neck.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want this, like, get out of here, you know, whatever. So at this point, then the
Homelander asks Deepin them to leave.
Yeah. Well, so Starlight says, like, hey, I've got final say. So he's not in here. Like, we're not having that.
Yeah.
Homelander asks everybody to clear the room. It's just him and Starlight here.
Yeah.
And Starlight, she basically tries to strong arm him
with the footage again.
Yeah. And she's like, do I need to remind you that I have, like, the footage of you letting all those people die on the plane? And he just goes, you know what?
Let's
release it.
I love this. This is one of another meme from him. He goes, let's light this candle.
Yeah.
Which is one of my favorite lines from Homelander in the show overall. I don't know why, but let's light this candle.
Well, he basically tells her, like, look, go ahead, release the tape. Because you know what? Yeah, people will hate me. I'll be finished, but then I'll have nothing to lose. And he basically says, at that point, I'll destroy everything.
He goes about, like, infrastructure. He talks about all of it.
Yeah, he's like, I will go and I will destroy all the electric around.
I'll go to the Pentagon.
I'll go to the government and destroy them. I'll destroy all of New York City. I'll destroy all of Idaho or wherever.
Wait, Des Moines.
Des Moines, yeah. Iowa. That's what it is.
Yeah.
He basically lets her know, like, if you do that, I will be such a loose cannon and no one can stop me.
Yeah, he says, like,
I don't care.
Obviously, what I want is for everyone to love me. That is what I want. But if I can't have that, then I'll just do all this.
Yeah.
So you still know, like, that's just who he is. For some reason, he wants the love and the aspiration towards him. But if that's not what he's going to get now, he's like, fuck it. Yeah. Let's light this candle.
Well, and it's funny that you mentioned that, like, all he wants is the love, right? And we know that Homelander was just kind of raised with
that, what,
you know, with doctors, and he didn't really have, like, an actual childhood. He was just you know, in a facility and whatever, so he's never had that, like, attention, that familial love from, like, a mom and dad or, like, family or anything like that.
Yep.
So the fans and, you know, the people, those are
where he gets
that attention, where he gets that love. And I think this is another, like, important thing moving forward because of a conversation he has with someone else later in the episode, but we'll get to that.
Okay. Yeah. But so the Deep End, Cassandra, are pretty happy about everything going on.
Yeah.
So they kind of get a little freaky. They do a little hookup.
Yep.
And as they're doing it, as the Deep gets on top, they have a big old...
Yeah, he's got an aquarium in the back.
Behind the bed. And there's an octopus in there. And it's kind of looking at him and moving towards him. And you start to realize when he's saying you like that, he's not talking to his wife.
Yeah.
He's talking to the octopus.
And it's funny then, too, because they're having sex. And then he's like, oh, yeah, are you going to jerk me off with all of your arms? And she's like, all of my arms? What? She doesn't know that he's talking to the octopus in the tank. But she's just confused then about this whole situation.
Yeah.
Which every time he's talking to fish or to, you know, wild animals in the water and stuff, it's just hilarious.
Yeah,
because I want to have some time
where we hear what they say.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
where we can hear the animals are saying to him. I think that would just be hilarious.
That'd be weird.
It would be, but it'd be funny because honestly, like, I'm still, part of me kind of thinks, like, the animals aren't talking to him.
Really?
I would not be surprised.
No,
honestly,
they're,
like,
talking
if
to
there's
him.
I know they are, but, like, in my head, I'm thinking, man, wouldn't it be wild if they're not actually talking to him?
He's just
saying that they are, and he's got, like, a mental issue.
Where, like, he thinks they are, but they're really not.
Right, right.
Yeah, maybe. But, I mean, I think they are, and I'll tell you why I think they are. Because of the next scene that we see the Deep and Homelander in. So there's kind of like a celebration dinner. Cassandra, Ashley, Homelander, and the Deep. And they're eating, and it turns out the food is a seafood meal.
Yeah, which honestly, most people would be like, oh my gosh, seafood buffet, count me in.
But not the Deep.
The Deep immediately sees that it's like lobster and fish and all this stuff, and he's like, yeah, I'll just have some bread. Can I have some bread?
Yeah. And
Homelander goes and, like, grabs, like, this big lobster, snaps it in half, and puts it right on the Deep's plate.
Oh, it's just, he's such a dick.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's like, but I got something really special for you. And he goes over to one of the waiters, grabs this big old thing, goes over, puts it down, and picks up the lid.
Yeah.
And it's the octopus.
But was it that octopus, though?
I think it was.
Because he says, oh, this is Timothy.
He knows the name already.
Right.
And he's like, I can't eat him. He's a friend.
Right, but was it the octopus from the tank? Because, I mean,
I think so.
I'm assuming if he's talking about the octopus, like during the scene with his wife and he's having sex, if he's talking to the octopus, I'm assuming the octopus is female? I don't know.
Why? Why would you assume that?
Because he's, the deep is, he's clearly a womanizer.
Yeah, but.
So if he's talking to the octopus and getting off on the octopus, like, you know, whatever sexual fantasy he's playing in his head, I'm assuming he's going to want the octopus to be female.
I don't think it matters.
Well, I don't know.
You know, I think it was Timothy was in the tank.
Well.
Because I would assume the Homelander probably went and got it out of his room.
Probably.
So it was probably that octopus. And he's like, I can't eat him. He's a friend. And they're going through it. And he's like, he's begging for his life. Like, I feel bad.
I knew you would.
Yeah, but not even bad because I'm not big on animals being eaten. Honestly, if there was this octopus didn't have a name and it wasn't talking about begging for his life, I probably wouldn't care. I wouldn't care too much because this happens. Sometimes people eat octopus or whatever. Yeah. But because the deep is talking to him and he says he's begging for his life, I feel so bad for octopus and the deep. And his wife texts him, you eat that fucking octopus.
Yeah, it's weird too because we kind of start to see here Cassandra's
controlling
the deep to an extent. And I'm wondering, like, was she chosen by the Church of the Collective because they knew that she could
do that,
control him?
Probably.
And the two of them, obviously, they're out from the church. Church hasn't been mentioned since Alistair died.
Dunzo.
But like, it's funny to see here now that the tables once again have kind of turned on the deep, where he's not the one that's controlling the woman in the situation. She's controlling him.
Yeah.
We see more of that later too.
Oh yeah, for sure. But yeah, so he ends up eating Timothy. Side note, I fast forward past this because I've seen it already and I don't want to see it again.
I watched it, obviously, because I'd never seen the scene before.
Yeah.
But like, as he's eating him, his tentacles are like trying to escape his mouth still and whatever. And he even says, he's like, oh, he's praying. It's like, yo, why would the octopus know how to pray?
To the octagod.
I guess. But yeah, he gets it down and, you know, I figured the deep was going to do it because more than anything, he wants to get back into the seven.
Yeah.
Why? I don't know.
I don't know.
It's just weird, too, because he's been kind of like when I was talking with about A-Train earlier, the deep has kind of just been in the same cycle as well.
Yeah.
Even though he gave Maeve the tape of the flight, it's like, okay, I'm just wondering, why are you...
He doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, why are you so all over the place? You gave a tape to Maeve that, you know, you knew was something that was damning to Homelander, but you're still, like, sucking up to him at the same time?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a really weird situation. Yeah, he's, like you said, he's dumb.
Yeah.
Because honestly, man, he had a cushy gig in Ohio. He's getting
paid to do nothing.
Yeah, he's getting paid to do nothing. The house was already paid for that he lived in. He just could have lived his life
yeah.
not doing anything the rest of his life and making money from Vault.
Well.
But he wanted to be in the seven really bad, so now he ate his buddy Timothy.
Well, he's back in now.
Yep, because of that. So I guess way to go.
Yeah.
You know? But, yeah, so anyway, this is where I believe we kind of get back to the show.
Yeah. Starlight is...
she does warn.
She tries to warn
Supersonic. Like, hey,
she turns up his music
so Homelander can't hear it.
Yeah. And she tells him, hey, they're going to come to you to let you know that you're in the seven, but you need to say no. And he's like, why? Like, no, I want to be in the seven. And she basically tells him, like, look, it's not what you think it is. They're horrible people. You know, if you get into the seven, it's not going to end well for you.
Never does.
Yeah. And, so he's just like, no, I'm joining the seven.
Well, and so she says, like, tell him you have, like, a health emergency with your mom or something like that. Like, something you need to get away from.
You need to bow out.
So it cuts away for a while. You don't see them. But then they meet up again to talk about it. And he says, I went to go tell him that I had an emergency, but I decided to tell him I accept. And she's like, no, why? And he's like, because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, he says, like... She tells him essentially, you know, and he knows that Homelander's a dick.
Yeah.
But he tells her, you never turned your back on me when I had some dark days. Like, I'm not going to turn my back on you.
Yeah. And this is where he makes the joke about being in love with her, but then it's just like a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which now, I thought, this is why I love this guy. I think Supersonic's such a great guy. He's a good person. He's not really trying to get with Starlight.
Well, so let me ask you this, though. Like, either the first time you watched it or even now, were you always thinking Supersonic was a good guy?
Yeah.
And this scene in particular, I thought for sure, I'm like, he's going to double cross her.
Oh, wow.
That's what was going through my head. I don't know why, but it just gave me like a vibe that he was going to join the Seven and then like turn and be a bad dude.
Oh, wow.
I don't know why.
No, I always kind of saw him as a good person. Like, it was almost like too good to be true, but it's like, wow, this is actually.
I think that's why I thought that.
It was like, wow, this guy's actually that good.
Yeah, I'm like, he's actually a good dude. Like, yeah, he's.
I also trust people too much.
Well, so. Yeah. But like, I feel like his whole checkered past, you know, whatever. I thought, okay, well, he's too good now. He's learned, okay, well, I need to be a good person. This, not, you know, whatever, blah, blah. I'm trying to help Starlight. And the fact that he's not trying to get with her, given their history, I'm like, there's no way this is too good to be true.
I think
he's going to turn, you know, but that was my thought.
I think the reason why I never thought that is it was almost too cliche, and they don't usually do a lot of cliches in here.
That's true. That's
where it's like, usually this character is so good, they make you trust him finally after you don't trust him for a while, and then that's when he turns. So, but only time will tell.
Yeah. So yeah, we get to the point where they're going to select the new members of the Seven. And so they're at the show there. They select Supersonic. He's in. He's standing on stage with Starlight and Homelander. And then they have the other like two or three female contestants that are left. And Starlight and Homelander, they're on stage and like, okay, we're about to select the new member of the Seven. And it is. And then out of the back, then comes the Deep.
Yep. And they say, the Deep.
Yeah. And everyone's like, all the other contestants are super disappointed. But it's funny because they do like the same thing that they do on like, what is that? Hell's Kitchen, where Starlight goes to him and she says, all right,
hang up your capes.
Yeah, you're done now. Please leave and hang up your capes on the way out.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, man, this could not be more
corny.
Well, but I would say like more like an actual reality show.
Oh, yeah, 100%. You know,
it's very much like what reality TV is like in real life.
And what's funny about this scene, too, is like the Deep comes up and she has a line where she has to like accept apology from the Deep. And he says something real like just condescending almost like, thank you. It takes a big person to do what you did, or like something real freaking weird. And it's like, it's so fake.
Yeah.
Even if you're watching the show, you would have to think it's fake. But yeah, so they bring the Deep back, but then they mention, so it's the Deep and Starlight's ex-lover. And Homelander's kind of like, you know, but just keep your distance.
Yeah.
She's mine now.
Yeah. This part I did not see coming.
I know.
At all.
And he puts his arm around her and her face. She didn't see it coming, I feel like.
Yeah, he's like essentially telling the whole world, like, me and Starlight are in love and she's my new girlfriend. And then he comes up with the corniest hashtag. He goes, hashtag Homelight.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, God, that's awful. Like, if there was any good thing that Stormfront did, which is nothing, but if there was anything, it was that she was like at least trying to help him with like his social media game.
She had social media skills, yeah.
And he's just bad at it.
Very.
But yeah, she's shocked. Mm-hmm. She's just standing there like totally was not even knowing what was going on. But then it's funny because I think it's Seth, the marketing guy. He's like, cut, that was amazing. That was great. Starlight, though, maybe don't look so
shocked.
You know, yeah. And then he's like, can we do it again? Can we roll again? And, you know,
they roll from hashtag Homelight.
Yeah. And to her credit, she is like, okay, yeah, we'll take it from the top. And he does the whole line again. He's like, me and Starlight are in love. She's my girl. Hashtag Homelight. Terrible. But then she like lays it on and she like goes and like turns his face and kisses him.
Yeah. And they do a pretty big kiss.
Right. But you also see then
behind her right back,
behind her back, she's clenching her fist like she was when she was in the pageant days of childhood.
And we didn't mention it, but she does call Huey at one point during the episode and just says, I need to get out of here. And he's like, I hate to say this, but you got to stay.
Yeah.
This is the only way we can stop them. We have this weapon maybe that can kill Homelander. yeah, so you're going to stay. So it's almost like Huey's doing what her mom did to her.
In a way.
And
in a way.
You can even see when he's talking to her, he's not happy what he's saying and doing. He even like smacks his head with the phone at one point. But then it's not like, all right, cool, bye, talk to you later. It's like, okay. And they just hang up. So it's like she's now back. It's reversed. Like somebody is forcing her to do something that she just doesn't want to do. That's also putting her in danger.
Yeah, absolutely. I do feel bad for her because it's just like she's the best of the best of all the soups.
Oh, yeah.
And even like the boys, too. Like she's an unofficial member of the boys pretty much.
Yeah.
But she's so good. And she's being put in the most danger out of anybody because she's like now stuck with Homelander.
Yeah, who is the most dangerous person.
Yeah. And it's like every episode that has gone by so far in this season, he's getting like a little bit more unhinged every episode that goes by. And it's just like, they're obviously building up to some big event, some big thing with him. And I'm curious to see where it happens and what happens. He's gonna lose it.
Yeah.
He's going to lose it for sure.
Yeah. Maybe even like his little like imagination from like last season where he just laser beams at everybody.
Yeah, dude. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm wondering here too with Homelander, like Homelander's not a dumb guy. He's very strategic.
He is.
And he doesn't always...
He doesn't have common sense, but man, he knows how to plan things out.
Yeah. He's out here playing chess when a lot of other people were playing checkers.
Yeah.
But it's funny because he is also not your typical like strong guy villain or whatever. Like a lot of times either you've got like a lot of strength, but you don't have a lot of brains, or you've got like a lot of brains, but you don't have a lot of strength. And he's kind of got a good balance of both. He's obviously got way more strength than anything,
but he's no dummy.
No,
yeah.
Not at all.
And like you said, I think that's why you kind of picked him as one of your top characters early on, is he's just such a good villain.
Yeah.
He does plan things out. He has these ideas. Once he knew his numbers were up, he's like, I'm back in control, baby. Like, and here's the thing. He's just so evil, he plans things out. The deep thing where he's like, well, I know that I got him under my control. I just want to see how much. I'm going to make him eat one of his friends.
Right.
You know,
right.
And just be a dick about it.
That, and then also he chose to bring him back in. Because he knew it was going to, like, throw Starlight off, too.
Yeah.
And make her uncomfortable and make her vulnerable. So he's setting up the pieces right now for something big, it seems. But I'm also just wondering, like, he's clearly got a lot of stuff going on in his head, like some mental problems and whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And I think at some point here, it seems like they're building up for, like, him to really just...
Let loose.
Yeah, yeah. Which Maybe. Will be fun because I'm wondering then, okay, well, how are they going to stop him? They know they can't attack him head on. So the opposition, whether it's the boys or Maeve or whoever, like they have to plan something out here. I'm really hoping that we get a face-off with him and Butcher. Like that would be awesome.
That would be pretty awesome.
I mean, you already watched it, so you know what's happening.
It would be pretty awesome. Does it happen? We'll see.
But yeah, that's pretty much it for this episode. This one was a little bit less on the action, but very heavy on the story, and I think it did well.
Yeah, very intense in some moments for sure.
Yeah,
but
I think probably I'm not gonna lie, this is probably in my top 10 favorite shows of all time.
Oh, 100%, it's that good.
I don't know why I waited to watch it.
Because you're an idiot.
I am. But I think it's so good, not just for the over the topness or the gratuity and stuff.
I think
not,
the characters.
Did I say gratuity? Why did I say that?
I wasn't even listening.
You weren't. I'm trying to think of the word, the gruesomeness or whatever.
Yeah, but goriness. I don't know.
But the action is good. The special effects are good. The story is good. The way that they make this show is. It's awesome.
Just good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite part is definitely the characters. You know, it's not even the action. Action's great, but.
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I would put it in a top five, at least maybe not yet, but it's definitely in the top 10 for me.
Top five. I think I might put it top five.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, maybe by the end of the season, who knows? Maybe it creeps up for me.
Yeah.
We'll see.
It's written by my boy who made Supernatural, so, you know.
You and it's Supernatural, man.
It's very Supernatural.
Let us know if The Boys is in your top 10, top 5 favorite shows of all time.
Is it number 1?
There's got to be a lot of people that it's number 1.
I think so. For sure.
I kind of wanted to go and read the comic now, too.
Nah.
I'm not a big reader.
I'm lazy.
Yeah.
But hey, we appreciate you being here listening, not reading. Yeah, we'll be back very soon with more episodes.
Absolutely. We'll see you guys next time. Peace.
Peace.